What is good, everybody? This is your guy, Manny, and this is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. Welcome to another episode of Talking Commanders with Manny. So let's go ahead and break down OTAs. OTAs are finally here. This is the first organized activity to where players can show up on a volunteer basis to kind of better their games, not only that, build rapport, not only with the team, but also their newly drafted young rookies. So let's go ahead and break down day one. We had tons of different things that transpired day one. I was going to come on, give you guys some gems, but then I was not able to. So let's go ahead and break down day one before we break down day two. So the headline is Sam Howell looks sharp in his first reps as QB1, right? The Commanders, they pulled up to their practice facility. And some of the observations that was said was Sam Howell looked very sharp, both in the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills. His arm strength was something that people raved about, you know, and it showed itself in spurts, you know, in the individual drills. Also, they noticed when Sam Howell was able to roll out and he hit a 30-yard shot to Curtis Samuel, they described it as something that was done with the flick of the wrist. So when you have that flick of the wrist and you have that arm talent, it's just kind of just showing the potential of what this offense can be. And as the reports continue, it said he was very accurate. They said he only had like 4 incompletions during that 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. What's good, Time Out Sports? Appreciate you hopping on the stream. They said he looked so crisp and so sharp. And the beauty of it is they said that, you know, it was only one pass that he threw to Brian Robinson Jr. that went out of bounds, but the other 3 passes were like drops. So that means the accuracy was pinpoint. I know it's just practice, but this is like, I mean, us as fans, we're looking at everything. We want to know what's going on. We want to know, is he looking good? Is he looking great? They said that one of the best passes that he threw was to Terry McLaurin. That was with Benjamin St. Juice bearing down on him, and McLaurin was able to make that catch. So it's kind of good to see QB1 and wide receiver 1 having that connection early in the offseason. They said another highlight was a sideline toss to John Bates, who made the snag right out of Jartavius Martin. So he would have that, you know, he would have had that broken up, but it was a beautifully thrown ball, and John Bates was able to come up with it. Speaking of tight ends, we're going to get into some tight end news that went down. I don't like to, you know, bring up bad news, but it's something that we have to discuss. So just keep an eye out, or just John Bates could be very important this season. But let's just continue to move on with this report. The report says, speaking of Martin, the defense utilized him in different several spots on the field, which is great. We brought Jartavius Martin in to be that nickel corner, to be that a safety, single high. He's going to play all over the field, right? And we all knew that coming in. They said, like, you know, one of his bigger plays was on Logan Thomas, who happens to be one of the bigger offensive targets for the Commanders, right? He was able to hold his own versus a Logan Thomas. So that's pretty good. It's pretty good to see, you know, this being it's just great to see Martin being able to cover different little spots. We need a tight end eraser. We need an RB eraser. We need a guy who can do some of the things that the linebackers can't do. And that's going to be Martin all over the field. So as we continue in this report, for Darian Mathis, he missed basically his entire rookie season. He was back on the field, and it was kind of great to see him with the second defensive group. And that was behind Deron Payne and also Jonathan Allen. We talk about Jacoby Brissett. It's good to see Jacoby Brissett as that veteran guy for this QB room. So I'm excited for that. And, you know, QB coach has praised Jacoby Brissett this offseason. That's what the QB coaches are going to do. They're going to praise their group. You know, linebackers are going to be praised by the linebacking coach and so on and so forth. So in the 2 drills with Jacoby Brissett, in the 7-on-7 drill, Cole Turner in the front corner of the end zone. And, you know, he also hit undrafted free agent Mitchell Tinsley. So that's a name that we need to look out for. Mitchell Tinsley could be a guy that comes up big for the Commanders. How big? I don't know. There's going to be a spot on this team, wide receiver-wise. Is it going to be the wide receiver five or six spot? Are those spots open? Cam Sims gone. You have two spots to fill. Who are your number five? Who's your number six? Also, who is going to be returning kicks? These are things that we're going to have to figure out as the season progresses. Also, the first interception from OTAs in day one was by cornerback Tariq Castro Fields. It was Jacoby Brissett trying to air the ball out to Dyami Brown, somebody who we're hoping plays better this year, being that Dyami Brown is going to be playing with Sam Howell. So we don't know how that's going to, factor in. But Fields was able to make a leaping interception, and then he jogged off the field in celebration. And, the defense loves to get, interceptions. But it was just kind of good to see that the first interception was from Jacoby Brissett and not from Sam Howell. It's not something that we want to see. We want our QB1 looking sharp and looking crisp. It's good to see this defensive group back together with Deron Payne and the rest. But let's talk about Kazmir Allen. So he's another receiver who the Commanders have brought in. A guy who potentially could be the kickoff returner. So I can definitely see him being that wide receiver six or the wide receiver seven if we decide to just keep seven wide receivers. But this is a guy that has played some wide receiver and some running backs. He's that kind of hybrid. He flaunts his quickness, his elusiveness with the ball in his hands. Defenders are not allowed to tackle at this point, but people were raving about Allen's decisiveness and making his plays, making his reads in rookie camp. And then it's also translating towards OTAs. People say, aside from his abilities as a returner, Bienemy is excited to have this guy as somebody who you can sprinkle in some plays in the passing game. Now, he's a guy that can do some of the things that Curtis Samuel could do. But this guy is just as fast, and he might be more durable. He might be more stockier. He might be stronger. I don't know. Time will tell. First-round pick. Emmanuel Forbes got his first of many reps against Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, and Jahan Dotson. Terry McLaurin made a catch near the sideline against Forbes on 7-on-7 drills, but Forbes uses 4-3 speed to match up with Samuel and Dotson step for step. So you're seeing that Emmanuel Forbes is holding his own versus the number two and number three wide receiver. But when it comes to that number one, Terry McLaurin, you're just seeing that Terry is still Terry. Terry is still that guy. And this is what you want to see out of Terry, because if no knock to Emmanuel Forbes, but there's going to be better corners that you're going to be facing as the season progresses, right? So you want to make sure that you're on top of your game. So it's good to see that, hey, Emmanuel Forbes is holding his own versus the two and three. But against the number one is still number one in Terry. So it's just good to see. It's going to be fun. Bienemy was a vocal voice once again in OTA practice. His presence was felt by the entire session, by teammates, players, coaches. Bienemy's here, and he's going to have the energy. And if you're wrong, Bienemy's going to tell you, hey, you're wrong. So as we continue to stream, I'm going to go through a few of the videos of what happened in day two, which was today. And you're going to kind of hear from some of the players and kind of see what's going on. So in some news, the Commanders have signed Farrad Gardner, linebacker, and they've released Nathan Gary. It seems like Farrad Gardner is a guy that Ron Rivera just loves. And he's just going to continue to invite this guy to camp and continue to invite this guy to camp over and over and over again until either he makes a team or, they just get done with him. So still no real plan at linebacker. Linebacker is what it is. You're going to see more defensive backs than you do linebacker anyways. We play, five defensive backs anyways? So got some interesting things to talk about in terms of Cameron Curl today. But let's get to that sad news. I told you guys that John Bates is going to be a big player for the Commanders this year. As the roster stands now, the tight end room is not great. You got Logan Thomas, you have John Bates, you have Cole Turner, and then you had Armani Rogers. But Armani Rogers, he had a non-football move today, and it sounds like a serious injury. I don't want to say that he's out for the year, but anytime you have a non-contact injury, it's most likely you're out for the season or you're out for the foreseeable future. So I'll be updating you guys more on that. But let's go ahead and dive into some of the highlights of day two. And then we can kind of get into what has happened, what the players are saying, and how OTAs are actually progressing. So the Commanders were back on the field for the second day, right? Ron Rivera had to deliver some unfortunate news. We all know, like we've talked about it, Armani Rogers, you know, non-contact Achilles injury. And that's not good. Like I said before, he's out for the foreseeable future until we get an official timeline. I don't know if he's out for the season, but let's just say that he's going to be less than productive this season off of this kind of injury. It's just one of those things. Armani Rogers, undrafted free agent from UNLV. He impressed last year. When you look at this tight end room, if I had to trust a tight end, it was Armani Rogers. I play a lot of dynasty football. I was drafting this guy. I was scooping this guy late. He was a guy that I was stashing on my roster and a guy that can definitely be a factor for the Commanders. So now it seems like John Bates is going to be the guy for the Commanders. As of right now, he's number one on that depth chart. Logan Thomas is number two. I also see Logan Thomas as the guy who's going to be released regardless of this news to Rodgers. Does this mean that Hodges gets another chance to, you know, get back into this group? Or do the Commanders bring in another vet that's a lot cheaper than Logan Thomas and then Logan Thomas is released? At the end of the day, Logan Thomas has not offered a lot to the Commanders. Decent blocker. He's good in the passing game, but he's never really out there. You know, it seems like Logan Thomas has lost a step. He looks like he's slower. And he's a project. I mean, he was a project that turned into something decent in a year when Terry was your best receiver and you had nothing else in the passing game. So with that being said, let's continue to move on towards all these reports. So since Washington does have the benefit of processing for other tight ends, I talked a little bit about this. This report says Logan Thomas, who's feeling healthy again. But like I said, for me, I have no faith in Logan Thomas. They say John Bates, you know, 2022 draft pick Cole Turner and Curtis Hodges. So these are the four tight ends that Ron Rivera loves, but it's all about what does Eric Bieniemy love? And Eric Bieniemy has used a tight end. Very good subscriber, follower, supporter of mine, Roger Smith, came onto a video that I dropped on YouTube. Go check it out, my latest Commanders video. And he talked about the team running the ball, a team that could potentially give Brian Robinson 20 carries and then 10 carries to whoever is the number two. It could be really Antonio Gibson, he said. And then you sprinkle in a few other carries between Sam Howell and whoever else that's going to run the ball. It seems like the Commanders are going to run the ball more. And then you have these RPOs with Sam Howell. Sam Howell is going to be essentially a rookie, right? So why not run the ball? Why not be a run first team? And then you pass when you need to, or pass in situations. We have a player in Sam Howell who's capable of passing the ball, but we're going to see how this team progresses with all these different running backs. So here's some report. Here's some observations. They said Sam Howell came out strong the first day of OTAs. We already talked about that, delivering precise throws and moving well in the pocket. That's something that I've seen the Commanders do. You're going to move Sam Howell in the pocket so he can be able to make more plays. Last year, the offensive line was bad, and then Carson Wentz couldn't do anything. But when Sam Howell was able to come in, he was able to be mobile enough to kind of move out of the pocket and kind of buy some time. So you're going to see more movement in the pocket, even if it's just the drop back. You're going to see him moving up, moving back, and getting the ball out of his hands quick. They want movement in all phases, from QB all the way down to the offensive lineman. So it says today was a bit more uneven. So it was looking like Sam Howell didn't have a great of a day as he had in day one. In day two, it says a sign that Howell is still developing. And we all know that he's going to have good days, bad days when the season comes here. You're going to see people say Howell is good. Howell has promise. You're going to see people say, hey, Howell sucks. It's just the nature of the game. It says, but there was still some positive movements. He completed 5 for 6 in his final team drill of the day including two touchdowns to Antonio Gibson and Jonathan Williams. I don't know if Jonathan Williams is going to be a thing for the Commanders this year. I think the team already upgraded the Jonathan Williams role when they drafted C-Rod. So we'll see what happens there. Also, more observations. It says there was several teachable moments for Sam Howell throughout the day during the red zone 7-on-7 drills. You guys remember that red zone play? Week 18 versus the Dallas Cowboys, Sam Howell throws that interception. I'm hoping this is an area of Sam Howell's game from a small sample size that I've seen that he can actually improve in, which is that red zone offense. We're going to get to see preseason a little more against the number one defenses. Last year, it's Sam Howell playing against the number twos and threes in the league, most likely threes. So this year, you're going to see a lot of Sam Howell in preseason, joint practices and whatnot. Let's see what he looks like versus NFL caliber starting defenses. Appreciate everybody for hopping in. Please like, please share, please comment, please subscribe if you haven't already. Now, the teachable moment for Sam Howell, he threw an interception to Percy Butler. Says after Butler says Eric Bieniemy quickly walked him out saying, "You threw it, you go get it." So again, this is a teachable moment, right? So Sam Howell throws the interception, and Howell did not try to chase after Butler. So already, you throw an interception, the enemy wants you to be involved in getting that guy down. You're a QB, you don't throw an interception, and then you don't try to get it back. So the enemy is not going to play games. When you mess up, he's going to let you know about yourself, and he's going to try to help you to get better. So more observations. Like I said earlier, it says whether it's a rookie or a vet, Bieniemy has high standards for his players. I just said this, and I'm just reading this report, but I just said this. It says such was in the case when Thomas was working with Brissett in 7-on-7 drills. Thomas had his hands on the pass before it was batted away by the defensive back. And then it says as Thomas jogged back into the huddle, Bieniemy yelled from across the field, "You got to make that, Logan." So, like I said, that's the beautiful thing about Bieniemy is that he's going to hold you accountable. He doesn't care if you are the best player, the worst player. Patrick Mahomes will tell you. There's been times when Bieniemy has called out Patrick Mahomes. So who is Sam Howell or who is Terry McLaurin compared to the GOAT of the league currently right now in Patrick Mahomes? It says, once again, Jartavius Martin was all over the field today. He got reps with the starters. Granted, May is the time for teams to try out different combinations. But Jartavius Martin was drafted in the second round for a reason. He's a guy that could start day one. And it's going to be, are you going to start this guy in a slot? Are you going to start him at, you know, in safety, nickel corner, Buffalo nickel? Either way it goes, the Commanders are looking like they're going to start five defensive backs and only two linebackers. So either way it goes, Jartavius Martin will get out on the field more and more and more. It says, however, it's a positive sign that the team trusts Martin enough already to put him out there with the starters. So that's what I want to see. So Emmanuel Forbes, let's go ahead and talk about him a little bit for OTA day two. It says Emmanuel Forbes grabbed his second interception of the offseason. This time it was while working against Marcus Kemp with Jake Fromm as QB. So you can't get too excited about, oh, he's going against Jake Fromm, which is the third or fourth string QB. Marcus Kemp, a guy who was brought in by Bieniemy, a guy who knows the offense, who's supposed to be a coach slash wide receiver, a guy who's taken over the Cam Sims role. He does play a lot of special teams. So it's like a special teamer who is not going to make the team. Jake Fromm from State Farm, who's most likely not going to make the team. But you expect Emmanuel Forbes to dominate versus this competition. So you have low-tier competition. You should expect high-caliber play from Emmanuel Forbes, who you are going to start day one. So that was good. That was good to see. This is another solid defensive play from Milo Eifler. Turner almost had a touchdown in the corner of the end zone right before he could secure it. Eifler batted it down. So here's Eifler, a guy who's trying to, you know, make his name known as a linebacker. He's trying to make this linebacking group. He's trying to make the team. You know, maybe who knows? Is he linebacker 3, 4, 5? I don't know how many we're keeping. Doesn't really matter either way it goes. If Jamin Davis or Barton goes down, it could be a travesty for the Commanders. So we got to get some kind of depth. May is here. June is coming. July is coming. You're going to see a lot of guys getting cut. So maybe we can grab some of these guys that are getting cut at low cost bargain type stuff. Casimir Allen, let's talk about him again. In day two, says continues to look solid through OTAs with multiple targets and catches. It says it'll be interesting to see if he can keep that production going through training camp. Here's what Ron Rivera has to say about the UCLA Bruin before practice began. He's young. You know, he's certainly made the most out of his, you know, his opportunities. He has our attention. So these are all good things you want to hear from Ron Rivera, especially when you have an undrafted free agent. You got to come in there. You got to come in there hustling. You got to come in there catching every single pass, not dropping the pass. If they put you in special teams, you do that. I mean, people said, oh, he might not be a good kickoff returner because he didn't do that much. It doesn't matter. When you get into the NFL, it's all about plugging in where you fit in. It's all about making this team, right? So he's here doing all the right things, trying to make this team. Says one last thing on how Rivera has been complimentary on Howell's development. Ron Rivera says you can really see the improvement in those details. That's what I love to hear. I want to see that Sam Howell is progressing, because at the end of the day, like I said, guys, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days with Sam Howell. I'm praying for more good days than bad days with Sam Howell. Beating me saying he has a great sense in feel, which is good. You want to hear that out of your QB and out of your QB coach and out of your offensive coordinator. He says, I think having Jacoby Brissett out there with him to push him and work with him at the same time has been really good to see. So not only is Brissett pushing him, because Brissett wants that starting position. If Sam Howell looks terrible in preseason and Brissett looks good, there's no doubt in my mind that the team might say, you know what, Sam Howell is not ready. But if he's not ready to start the season as QB1, will he ever be ready? So it's going to be an interesting season, an interesting year, being that we now have new owners, right? We have owners that are here. And it's all about the direction of the team, right? How much are these new owners going to trust Ron Rivera? If things start to go bad, will Ron Rivera be fired during a regular season? Because you have to go in the direction that you want. With a new stadium coming, new team, new players, new everything, and everything is a possibility. As I promised, I'm going to kind of get into what the players were talking about. We're going to talk a little bit about Ron Rivera's press conference, and then we're going to go from there. So I'm going to share my screen, and then we're going to hit a few highlights, not too many, a few highlights about this team, what players are saying, and then we'll kind of go from there. Let's go ahead and hit up Ron Rivera for a good minute, and we'll go on to the next
injury. He'll be examined next week, and there is really no timetable on his return. Jamin Davis is only going through walkthrough and meetings right now. He had a minor cleanup procedure on his knee from a lingering issue from last season. He'll continue to work his way back in the mix, and we're not worried about being a long time thing.
With Armani, how big a blow is that for you, considering what he saw last year?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a blow, and it's unfortunate. It's just, you know, he did it running, and like I said, it was non-contact. He's a young man that really progressed very well for us last year, but we feel very confident in the group of tight ends that we have right now as well. So, but it is a big loss as far as the young man's concerned.
Look, when Ron Rivera says that he believes in the tight ends that we have now, it's pissing me off. I don't believe in the tight ends that we have now. Hodges, Bates, Cole Turner, Logan Thomas, who I don't believe in. Like, something has to be done with this tight end room. Unless you're saying, you know what, we don't care about the tight end position. Unless you're saying we're not going to utilize the tight ends, then just say that. Just say that. Because when you're telling me that you're confident in the group that you have, it's crazy. It's crazy to me that this is the group that you're bringing in into year two. You can say, oh, you drafted Bates in the third round 2 or 3 years ago. You can say, oh, Cole Turner, fifth round pick or whatever. I can't get excited about these guys because I've not seen the production. And you literally need tight ends that people fear. And you had an opportunity in a draft to draft guys like a Mayer or a Kincaid. I get those guys went early, and I know that you didn't have plans of getting a tight end in the second round, but in the third round, we had a prime opportunity, even in the sixth round. Like, you had tight ends all through the draft that went to different crazy landing spots because teams like Washington, who desperately needed a tight end, didn't grab one. But was it that because they didn't grab a tight end early, that they felt like, okay, grabbing a tight end later in day three would be the same as a Cole Turner? So who knows? Who knows what the team was thinking? But let's listen to a little bit of, more from Ron Rivera.
And then a couple of guys weren't there yesterday, Chase, Montez, Charles, too. But with Chase, Montez especially, how it's voluntary, but how do you view
that? Well, you always would like to have all your guys here. But, again, it's voluntary, and we understand that. And the nice thing, though, is, I've been in contact with them. They're working out. They're getting, they're progressing, getting themselves ready to go. And, when it all comes down to it, we'll see them when they have to be here.
I apologize for getting one more, but just curious about Sam Howell, the difference you saw in him this week or yesterday compared to where he was at the end of the year. What kind of strides has he taken?
Well, one of the things that we talked about last year, and you guys were asking about him and his growth and development, was we talked about footwork and stuff like that, and you really see the improvement in those details. You really do. He's got a great sense and feel for what Coach Bieniemy wants, and in fact, all the quarterbacks too. And I think having Jacoby, out here pushing him and working with him at the same time has been a really good thing, because you do.
All right, so we talked a little bit about that when I was reading some reports to you guys. I'm going to go ahead and dive into the next person's press conference. I want to hit as many of these as possible. Let's listen to Terry McLaurin for just a little bit.
It's expected of us every time we come out here on the field. He's very detail-oriented. So it's just on us to make sure that we're taking what we're learning in the classroom onto the field and make sure we're studying on our own time. So when you come out here and you have that kind of energy from your coach, you have no choice but to come out here and put the work in. And I think it's great, that he set the tempo and the tone like that.
Ron was saying a big part of this is getting these rookies and the newer guys integrated with this system and with you guys, playing with you guys. What have you seen from them?
Yeah, I think, your rookie year is a tough year. So I know they're all kind of swimming right now, but they're just doing the best job that they can of watching the old guys. We're trying to set a good example, letting them know that we're here to help them if they need help. I know they have a lot of extra time with the coaches and the strength staff. So, I'm just encouraging them to, if they're going to make a mistake, make sure you make it full speed. Try not to think as much and trust yourself while you're out there. But if you could put the time and the work in outside of these walls, then it'll give you more confidence when you come out here on the field. I think Coach EB is really, like I said, he's detail oriented, and I feel like our offense has a lot of options where you could go with the football. And even when you're lined up, depending on what the defense is doing, we have a chance to adjust our route. So, like I said, it just forces us players to be very detail oriented. But I know when the games come around, we'll have a chance to be successful.
The thing I love about Terry is when Terry talks, he talks about things like work and detail oriented. He's just a guy that puts in the work, man. Coming into the league, he wasn't the most talented. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the biggest, but he's always worked on his craft, and which is perfection. He's a guy who believes in perfection, a guy who believes in reps and doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and perfecting what you do. So he's a detailed route runner. He's just a leader. He leads by example. And I'm glad that we have Terry on this team. Let's listen to a little bit from Antonio Gibson.
Perfection from us, and you can see it out there, the way he coaches, the way he gets on us about our details, and he doesn't let the small things slide.
How excited are you about this offense under an EB direction?
I'm excited. It's not where it needs to be now, but, it's only day two of helmets on. But we've been working, and, with him pushing us to be what we need to be, we're getting there for sure.
Two things about Antonio Gibson. He's saying that Eric Bieniemy expects perfection. He's another guy that's similar to Terry. Like, he's all about details. He's all about, if he designs a play or he tells you this is how the play is supposed to go, if he says 1, 2, 3 turn, it has to be 1, 2, 3 turn, not 1, 2, 3 think turn. So that's the beauty of Bieniemy. Bieniemy's going to get all these guys right. And the second thing about Antonio Gibson is he looks a lot slimmer. He looks a lot leaner. He looks a lot slimmer. This could be a huge year for a guy like Antonio Gibson. I think they're going to use this guy all over the field, and they're going to get as creative or be as creative as possible to kind of get this guy involved with this offense. So Let's listen a little bit more from Antonio Gibson.
Utilizing you, how does he, I mean, obviously, you don't have to tell us, but did you already see like he's going to be utilizing you in different ways?
He has a lot up his sleeve, but, you know, we are getting moved around a little bit different, but it's not just us, it's everybody. So, you know, I'm excited about that.
Antonio, you talk about the details for EB. What are some of the details that he's been
It could be from snap count, it could be from alignment, it could be from coming out of the huddle too slow, jogging off the field. So, you know, things like that, you might not think is, you know, that big, but at the end of the day it is. And when the game is on the line, you want those to be perfect.
He said a lot. He didn't say a lot, but he said a lot. So I'm going to leave it at that. Let's go ahead and listen to the next guy, and that's Jonathan Allen.
At the same time, but, you know, I'm excited to be out here and really loving the energy and excited about what's to come.
AG mentioned that a new energy. Explain that. What is this new energy?
I don't know. It just feels different. So, again, I'm excited. You never want to get too excited before the season starts, because every year, every team is 0-0, and we have a lot to prove and a lot to improve on. But I like where we're starting at, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
So, Jonathan Allen with the Alabama band on his head. He's not playing any games. You're hearing the sense this offseason is that something is different. You can't quite pinpoint what's different, but something is definitely different. I'm not going to try to get too excited as well. I don't blame Jonathan Allen. Sometimes we get so excited and things don't pan out how we want them to. So this is a good time. This is a good time to be a Commanders fan, new ownership, new offensive coordinator who could potentially become the head coach, defense that is, you know, hungry, have some guys to pay. So let's see what happens. More from Jonathan Allen.
I know Coach was talking earlier to us about this is a big opportunity for the rookies, the young guys that are out there for the first time with you guys to kind of prove themselves, see how they work with the system. What have you noticed from anybody specifically?
All I know is as a group, the rookies come in, they're quiet, they don't say too much, and they work hard. That's really all I could ever ask them. You know, rookie year is tough. Going from the season to training for the combine to the pro days to the rookie mini camp straight, it's a lot, you know. So they're coming in and working. That's all I could ever ask of them.
Anybody you're excited about out there?
It's so early to say, man. It's too early to say until you put shoulder pads on, because it's just a different game until then.
So curious what you thought of Dan Snyder agreeing to sell this team. Obviously, it's a big deal.
You know, honestly, for the players, it doesn't change much. I mean, I've been saying this. I know people probably didn't believe me, but from a player standpoint, we're focused on the season, man. And, you know, of course, Dan Snyder owning the team, we had to answer questions about it, but it really didn't affect us as much as people may think. At the end of the day, I get paid to play double teams and rush the passer.
I love it. He gets paid to play football. Quit asking football guys about business decisions that the team is making. Like, when I get on here and I do my little shows and stuff, I care less about what the team is doing if it's not football related. So let's go ahead and dig into what Cam Pro saying.
Cam, last two.
I'm just coming to work, you know what I'm saying? Being around the guys, doing my job, you know what I'm saying? Getting back 100% healthy, you know what I'm saying? Just coming to work, you know?
Cam, last two guys that have been up here, AG and JA, both said there's a new energy here, a new feeling. What do you see in the early going here?
I feel like it's a lot of competition, you know what I'm saying? Like the new offensive plays they running, you know, like more exciting plays, you know, more place for us to make plays on too, though. So, you know, that's, I feel like that's a new energy, just a lot of competition going on right now. You know, trying to take the top off, you know what I'm saying? We're not going for none of that, but, you know, maybe trying to.
I love it, man. You see the energy from the defense. Here's Cam Kroll, a guy who he's up for an extension, right? So he can choose to be at home. He doesn't have to be here. But like he says, he loves to be around his teammates, and that's good. He's like, you're seeing this guy, a leader, a guy who was a seventh-round pick, should have been a seventh-round pick, but he's a guy who's due to get paid, and he's going to get paid, if not by the Commanders, but definitely by somebody in the NFL, one of the better safeties in the league, and he's here leading by example. I love his leadership. I love that he says that there's competition. There's going to be competition for snaps. Like, if he's not playing well, guess what? We drafted some guys who can come in and step in, but even within the competition, not only is there competition for snaps, there's also competition from the offense. So I love that they're, you know, implementing new plays and things of that nature. Let's go ahead and listen to Quan Martin, and that's it for the rest of the day.
Overloaded me with a bunch of gear, just being able to put that helmet on. Just means a lot to represent this organization.
What are some things that you find when you're out there and you say that you've got to start working on this, or anything that surprised you?
definitely like the speed of the game, the tempo, you know, things are moving fast out there. So just being able to understand where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there, just get in the right position to make plays.
Do you have a good sense of how they plan to use you in this defense?
Nickel, safety, I mean, wherever I may need to be at, I'll be there. So
is that harder to learn those two spots, you know, in the NFL, or is it easier because you've done some?
Throughout my whole college career, I've been all over the place. So, I mean, I'm used to it now. So just being able to move around and play different spots is what I do.
What is transferable from the college? Is it footwork? Is it scheme? What, I guess, helps you make that transition?
There's a lot of turnover, man. Footwork, like you said, terminology, route concepts. Like, I see a lot of that out here. So just being able to pick up on it in different coverages is the biggest thing.
All defensive backs are a little different. Some have sprints and other things. What are your strengths? What makes you strong?
Just my understanding of the game, man. Just being able to move around in the back end and play a lot of different positions, and my ability to come in and help on the run. Being a nickel here, I'm going to have to help on the run. So just being able to support and run and cover guys one-on-one.
Man, I'm excited to see Martin play this year. It's good energy coming out of OTAs right now, and I'm excited for it. I'm here for it all. Let's see where we go this season. I can't get overly excited about this season because, you know, it's just offseason. Let's see what we look like in preseason. Let's see what we look like versus real NFL competition. But so far, it's good energy coming out of OTAs. Bienemy, Sam Howell, Martin, Forbes. It's so many different storylines, and unfortunately, injury to Armani Rogers. Praying for the rest of our players. Hopefully, there's no other serious injury that progresses throughout this offseason and heading into the season. We need everybody healthy. We need all hands on deck for a potential good season for the Commanders. Once again, guys, you're listening to Talking Sports with Manny podcast. Please subscribe. Please leave me a rating on Apple and everywhere else you get your podcast. And this is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. Please like, please subscribe, and please share. And I'm going to catch you guys on that next episode. I'm out, y'all. Peace.